If you can't read it, what it says is the dishes can wait. And I'm going to explain that here in just a minute. And I'm excited about this. I saw this online, and it has a reference to Luke 10:42. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 is what we're really going to talk about today. Because when I saw this, the first thing is I needed to look it up and find out what it was. So I'm glad to see everyone, each and every one of you today. Wow, this is exciting. Another great week has gone by and is lining up for another good week. So let's get right to it. What happened was Jesus had been traveling, and he ends up in this town. Now, I don't know how he ends up at Martha and Mary's house. All it says is as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, back in the day when this happened, what would happen was people would go to the center of town, the center square, if they were travelers and needed a place to stay. And what people would do is people would go and offer them to come stay at their house for the night or however long they were going to be there. And I'm kind of assuming that this is what happened. And the cool thing is about this is God would send angels into these towns to go home with these people. And in the Bible, it tells us, be careful who you're talking to. You never know whether it's an angel or not. Well, this particular time, it was Jesus. And she had a sister named Mary. When Jesus came in, Mary knew who Jesus was. I don't think he had a neon sign on him. I don't think he had the people around him saying, hey, this is Jesus. I believe in her heart. She knew that this was Jesus. This was the Christ. This is the person that everybody has been waiting for hundreds of years. And Mary couldn't pull herself away from Jesus. She sat at his feet. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. And I sometimes wonder what that was like. There's a disciple that it says in the Bible, and it only says in one place, that he laid on Jesus' chest. And there was only one time that it was documented in the Bible. And I sometimes wonder what it's like, laying your head on Jesus' chest, listening to God's heartbeat, feeling his warmth, just knowing that you're taken care of with the love that surrounded you. So here's Mary. She's listening to everything the Lord has to say. She may not know what's going to happen in the future. Nothing was documented yet. So she's there. He's in the home of Martha and Mary. But Martha was distracted. And this is what I see happen to us in life. We get distracted. There's these little distractions, things that we think are more important than maybe Jesus, than maybe our children, our grandchildren, our husband, our wife. How many times have they come to us and said, hey, Mom, or hey, Dad, and we said, not right now, I'm busy. I have other things to do. Come back later. We'll spend time later when things settle down. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget. I forget that there was someone that came to me that I said, that's okay, I'll be there later. But this is the difference between Martha and Mary. Martha got distracted because she was making all the preparations. Mary was supposed to help her. But the thing is, Mary knew. She knew she needed to be there with the Lord. She knew she had to sit at his feet and listen to everything he had to say. I don't think she realized at the time this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This opportunity would never come to her again, ever. Your kids, your grandkids, your husband, your wife, they'll come back. But she saw this opportunity, and she seized the opportunity. Martha didn't like it, though. Martha, and it's kind of like when we spend time with our kids, our grandkids, our husband, our wife, there's these little things that keep going, but what about? I've got to get the oil changed. I've got to go pay a bill. Oh boy, did I take care of this? There's a leak in the roof, and pretty soon you have 9,000 things going through your head that you feel like you should be doing, rather than stopping and spending time with those people. Just spending time with them, because guess what? The dishes can wait. And I've learned a lot in the last 2 or 3 years, especially, it seems like I have seasons in my life. And I found out how many things in life really don't matter. And I've gone off and I've spent time with Jesus. And I've spent time with people who have come to me. And those dishes are still there. They don't go anywhere. So Martha, she goes and she goes, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Why don't you tell her to help me? Tell her to stop listening to you. And I think Jesus had a good comeback. He said, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things. I don't know about you, but boy, that rang true to me. I've got all these things going on in my head, and guess what? I can't do anything about them until the right time. And Wednesday night, I talked about God's timing and how things will happen in the fullness of time when they're ready. So you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed in life. Few things are really needed. And he said, oh, by the way, only one is really needed. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we really need. But are we spending time with him? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. No one can take that time that she spent with the Lord away from her. And it reminded me of a story with my daughter. A friend of hers had been through some really rough times. She just got notified she was getting divorced. And this lady was really upset. And so what my daughter did was she went down to Goodwill and she bought a set of dishes. And she said, come over to the house. And went in her garage, closed the door, and said, break them. Just start throwing the dishes on the floor. And she did. And she felt better and she felt better. But what I remember about that is that now those dishes are gone. But you can't take away your relationship. Nobody can take away your relationship with Jesus Christ. On the flip side, you are the only one that can build that relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody else can come in and bust up all your dishes. And you were worried about washing them. A flood can come and take it all away. And it's all gone. But do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ to where no matter what happens, you can look to him? I have seen that in this church. I've seen that strength. I've seen it in people. It's still going on. I don't know if you saw our video about King Lake. And yeah, it's a video. We have it on the church's website. But we can't express to you what it felt like. Because we spent time down at King Lake before we were here. And the only reason I say King Lake is King Lake is a small part of what really happened. And then after that, when it was 97, 100 degrees, we decided to drive by somebody's house that we know that they're putting their house back together. Well, it's not very much together. All we saw was 2x4s and insulation. They don't even have a floor in their house right now. And they're still living with someone else. And this is still going on. And the reason we did that video is to let people know we're part of that. We're here in Waterloo. But we talk to people in other places that go, isn't the flood gone? Yes, the flood is gone, but other things aren't. And these people have a relationship with Jesus. Martha, she missed her chance to spend time with, to listen to touch Jesus Christ. Because she had dishes to do. She had things in the kitchen she had to do that was more important. Even though God said, Mary has chosen what is better and it will never be taken from her. Martha still stayed in the kitchen and I'll bet she was stewing. I'll bet she was mad. Mary didn't miss that moment. She knew the dishes could wait. When we have people come to us, our children, Jesus comes to us. And he says, what about this? Why don't you go this way instead of that way? And we have to decide at that point what we're going to do. When people come to us, they come to us because they need us. Yet some people don't see it. It's the, let's do it later. Don't worry about it now. I don't have time. I'm tired. I just got home from work. I don't have time for you right now. I'm not very good at messages. When people do things to send Mike bitter messages, I didn't grow up that way. And some people even come up and say, hey, Pastor, do you see the kind of message that person is trying to send you? And I'm like, no, I don't, if they don't come up and tell me. So when we do things like that and we put people off, what are we telling our loved ones? What are we telling those people that come to us and say they need us? What kind of a message? Are we sending them the I love you message or the I don't have time for you message? What kind of message was Martha sending Jesus? I don't have time for you. Sorry, I'm busy in the kitchen. But in the fullness of time, that dinner would have been cooked, those dishes would have been cleaned, but she missed the opportunity because she was distracted. There was something that was more important to her than Jesus Christ. Does that happen to us in our daily lives? Do we find things that are more important to us? Each and every one of us do have time. We just don't take the time. And that's what happened with Mary. You have time to spend with Jesus Christ every day. When you pray, do you pray every day? How many times do you pray a day? Maybe we need to kick it up a little bit. If you pray twice a day, consider three times. If you pray once, pray twice. If you pray five times a day, pray seven times a day. I'm not talking about let's spend an hour on our knees praying to Jesus, which I believe we should do anyway, but when we're driving down the road, how many times did Jesus go, hey Mike, what you doing? Radio's not on. You've got another 15-minute drive. How's it going? He's knocking. But do we pray to him? Next Thursday, I've been asked to speak at a pastor's conference. And I could have said, got too much to do, and I do. My calendar is booked. But I was asked to do that. I got that, Mike, I've got something for you. And I was asked to go and actually give a presentation. I thought I was just participating. They said, no, we want you to speak. Because we saw what you've done, the fruits of my labor. We want you to come and teach people how to pray for the things that you have. How to pray for unity. How to pray to bring a community together. And that, to me, was an opportunity. If there's just one person at that conference that I can reach, that's all I'm looking for. that one miracle in the room. So what about you? You may not be a guest speaker or able to do some of the things that I do. There's a lot of things I do you don't want to do. But you can pray a little bit more than normal, because normal is just that. It's normal. It's the same thing over and over again. Say an extra prayer or two. Spend time with Jesus. If you need a chance, I'll tell you something that's coming up. We were called to support a family. There's a four-month-old child. His name is Zion. He lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. Zion was not supposed to have lived this long. He's lived 4 months longer than he was supposed to. First thing that attracted me is his name is Zion. That's the promised land. And when I got the phone call, I was told that Zion is going to be coming to Omaha because he has a rare disease called trisomy 18. Hopefully I said that right. He was supposed to come 2 days ago. He got sick again. Sick. The doctors in North Carolina won't even operate on him. He's so sick. And then he got sepsis, which is a blood disease. And he was supposed to have been here Friday. Now they're trying to get him stabilized. They think he's stabilized enough to come here. What we were asked to do was to support him, support his family, just be there in case they need something. And mom and dad are going to be coming, but they have two other kids with them. What I'm asking is that keep in touch, keep him in your prayers if nothing else. If you need an extra thing to pray about this four-month-old child. He's only lived 4 months. Maybe take his parents out. Maybe offer to take his kids to their kids to the zoo so they can try to figure out what's going on in their life. Why is God doing this? Because that's usually the question that comes up. So they can kind of figure out God's timing. The other thing that you all have been asked to do is next week is the congregational meeting. There were some discussions that happened last month and you were asked to pray about them. Come back this week. Tell us what Christ has put on your heart. It's not about me or John or Greta. But what did Christ put on your heart? Where does Christ want this church to go for the next year or so? Because what you decide next week will decide the direction of the church. Every day we have a chance to be with Jesus. Not just once in a while, like Martha and Mary. All we have to do is call upon his name. Call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus. And what a wonderful name that is. So powerful. But we get called away by life's little things. We get distracted by them. If you break prayer with Christ, the devil's won. He doesn't have to do anything because you broke prayer with him. You broke that relationship, and that's not what I want for anyone in this room. He can sit back and just go, hey, I don't have to worry about this person. Because they broke their relationship. Christ calls us to be his, but how many of us really answer that call? How often during the day are we called to pray, but don't? And again, like I said, I'm not talking hours of prayer. Just a couple minutes, every here and again. I'm talking about 2 minutes of prayer, or at least be silent and listen to God. The Bible says that if we don't know what to pray, just be quiet. The Holy Spirit will pray for us. But build a good relationship with God. Listen to what he has to say, or what he's asking, or where he's leading you, Or where is he leading this church? Where are we headed as a church? Pray about it. God will tell you. He'll tell you where the church needs to go. Don't let the dishes get in the way. Don't let the dishes get in the way of your relationship with Christ. They're just an excuse for you to not spend time with our Lord. And that's what happened with Mary. She got distracted. Then she got upset with Mary because Mary didn't help her, because Mary knew what was important. She was caught up, Martha was caught up in the little things in life, the things that keep us from enjoying life. I'm not saying throw everything away and not do what's expected of us or required of us to maintain our lifestyles of what as they are, or to feed our family. We still have to do those things. But be careful that those little distractions don't keep you from meeting with Christ on a regular basis. This week, don't miss an opportunity to be with your husband, be with your wife, your children, your grandchildren. But most of all, don't miss an opportunity to be with Jesus. Pray not only to Jesus for what you want, or just praise him for what he's done for you, but also for the church. Pray for the church and what's happening in the church and where we're going. Pray that he gives you the insight to hear his word and then follow his direction. In wisdom, follow his direction in the upcoming year. Okay, that was it. Are we ready, Greta?